You know how it starts like bum 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 bum, and then the beat drops more.
Oh my muchkele muchkele,
make a funny.
Jokes aside, what is this?
Jokes aside, man.
Aye, good. Jokes aside.
My name is Nadeev. Welcome to my podcast.
Wow. I'm back. I was just rehearsing an audition, and instead of endlessly doom-scrolling on social media, I thought, while I take a break, why not reconnect with my audience again? And that is you. All those that support me, that supported me along the way, all those that are dreamers, all those that are in the midst of a turning point in their life, or the moment before, or simply just those that are driving their car to work or on the treadmill at the gym, getting a sweat in. For those that don't know me, my name is Nadeev Malcho. You know, I taped 10 episodes of a podcast during the pandemic where I went through my own personal lowest point. Or at least that was my lowest point at the time. Listen, I always like to look at the bright side of life. So there has been some incredible, beautiful, amazing things that have happened in my personal life and also around the world over the last couple of years. But then, more specifically, the last 12 months. Yeah. A lot of heartbreak and tragedy. And I'll leave it at that for now. That being said, I do always like to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Something that I've personally always found a beautiful way to help myself and then to serve other people, or at least a form of catharsis for others, is using humor to get us to get us moving forward and upwards. I just failed at that. And I tried for a minute, but really I just took a moment off the stage as a comedian. And the truth is, I felt really unfunny for a long time now. And but hey, if there's one thing about us Jewish folks, it's using humor to help heal us, you know, and to bring worldly topics to light, and to life. Now, here we are, and yeah, I've done a lot of healing as we're continuing to do more of it, but it's time I bring smiles to people's faces again, and not just in my inner circle or people I bump into, but through the platform that is this podcast. Jokes aside, I also felt I lost, or rather I felt lost in my career for a short while. And instead of trying to figure everything out myself and then jump back on the podcast, I figure, isn't it much nicer to come on here and figure it all out together with you all? I vote yes. And today, I want to talk about some things that helped me keep myself on track, lessons that I learned along the way, and I'm going to start each episode this time. Let's call this season two, or perhaps a new beginning to a podcast. But I want to start each episode with a quote that I love without much explanation or any explanation at all. So today's quote is, as within, so without, as above, so below. Okay, now, there are three things I want to talk to you about on today's episode. It might be 20 minutes long, it might be a half an hour, it might be a full hour podcast episode. We shall see. I will stutter along the way. I will probably listen back to this and overthink some things and say, wait, I wanted to say that. Oh, why did I forget this? Or, ooh, I should not have mentioned that. But you know what? It's okay, because I have always been an open book. And I'm here to share as much as I can with you, and hopefully it helps you along the way. These are lessons that certainly made a lot of positive change for me. So the first thing I want to talk about is sacrificing something for a bigger purpose. Now, for me, that was moving away from my friends and my family and coming to LA. The second thing that I'm going to cover today is communicating honestly and openly with yourself and the people around you versus finding the balance between I don't know, screaming into a pillow and manifesting positive thoughts with positive affirmations. And then last but not least, I will go over the importance of believing in yourself, being your own CEO, being your biggest cheerleader to yourself and truly championing the decisions that you make. And look, listen, if you don't believe in yourself, then you can't really expect anyone else to. You have to be able to look at yourself in the mirror with, you know, all the ups and downs that come with life and certain decisions you make, with all the regrets, but have the confidence to say, hey, you're fucking good. You know what you're doing. I trust in my decisions. My instincts, you know, have guided me, and my intuition have guided me into where I am today. And I'm proud of myself, and I believe in myself, and I'm fucking kick-ass, and I can do this, and you got this. Let's go. Yeah, cheesy, but it's really important. Self-belief is everything. You have to almost be maniacal about it. You have to fake it till you make it if you need to. But convincing yourself until eventually you have enough, let's say, evidence to back your own self-belief in yourself up. But that's what it is. It's you got to think ahead of the game here. Okay, so let's talk about the first thing, sacrificing something for a bigger purpose. On the one hand, I feel extremely privileged being able to be here in LA. For starters, it's an extremely expensive city. I went to acting school years ago in New York, and one thing that really opened my eyes was seeing most of my friends there and colleagues that either didn't have supportive parents of their dream of becoming artists, but also financially they were struggling a lot. They had to take 3 jobs just to get themselves through acting school in New York. Same goes to some of my friends, at least the ones that are starting out as actors here in LA. It's not a cheap city, whether it be rent or eating out or fueling your car, whatever that may be. So I do feel privileged even being able to be here, buying this podcast equipment, sitting in my apartment, all that stuff. I feel very lucky, and in many ways that made my journey simpler. But I still had the emotional decision to make, which is, do I move away from the city I grew up in, which is Vienna in Austria? So that's about a 12-hour flight away from LA, and leave my life behind in many ways. I have incredible friends there. I spent, you know, the first 18 years of my life in Vienna. Then I went to school, and then I spent another 7 years back in Vienna and in close European cities like London and Berlin. But I built up a whole life in Europe. My parents are there. My father, who is 20 years older than my mother, is now 88 years old. I have an extremely close connection with him. I now have a baby nephew that my brother and sister-in-law became wonderful, wonderful parents. He's 1.5 years old. And I feel very connected to my family as well as my friends. I see them as my closest circle. They've gotten me through hardships in my life. They have been my number one supporters of me chasing my dream out here. And one could argue I have everything that I could ever wish for on a silver platter in Vienna waiting for me. And yet, I always felt like I wanted to strive for something bigger. It doesn't necessarily mean something better. I just feel that my passion as an actor, whether it be in movies, series, or as a comedian on stage, I've always wanted to affect as many people as humanly possible, affect them positively through my performances, through my craft. And there was a moment where I felt that it was too small of a bubble in Vienna. Now, the industry is changing, so I do feel that there's such incredible things that are reaching people on a global scale that are being shot and filmed in Europe and all around the world, for that matter. And yet, when I was 10 years old, a dream was planted in my, a little seed was planted in my head. And that seed was telling me to one day come to LA, come to America, and fulfill your dream, your destiny. And so I have no regrets. And yet it is simultaneously the easiest decision I ever made and also the hardest decision, especially now where I feel things are changing. Every time I go back home, my dad is getting older. My nephew is growing up. And LA, as beautiful as a city as it can be, can also be extremely lonely. It's not an easy city. There's tons of rejection. There's incredible sides to this town, but it's also can be quite shallow, whether that be in the workspace or even me as a single guy going on dates. So I just want to talk about, I'm honestly just sitting here and empathizing with people that have gone through something similar, that have left something behind. And in order to achieve whatever it is that they feel deep inside their system, their DNA, that they have to do. For me, there was never an option. I have to be here. I have to audition for things. I have to get on stage. I have to make people smile and laugh. I have to delve into different characters and put on costumes and wear makeup and tell stories because I just have no other choice. I don't know truly what I would be doing with my life if not for this industry. I do feel that intention is important. I got lost along the way, and I feel that many people that I cross paths with, especially younger actors, you can get lost in the intention, whether it be, you know, I just want to be rich and famous, or I want the attention from other people versus I want to turn my passion into my purpose. And in doing so, I guess it's when you turn when your passion positively affects other people around the world, that becomes a purpose. So I had to check in with myself and remind myself a lot in the past 2 years. Why is it that I actually want to be an actor? Is it because I have low self-esteem and I want the attention? Is it because I want to get a pat on the back and feel cool? And I think the long answer is, or the shorthand answer is no, because if I wanted confirmation from people, I think I'd choose something a lot easier than acting. As you know, it's quite difficult to break into the industry out here. So I think for anyone that's leaving something behind in order to achieve something, just constantly ask yourself, why is it that I'm doing this? Whether it be a feeling that I'm chasing or whatever it is, but just try to stick with positive intention and know that you are also not alone in doing so. Seek out other people that are also chasing similar dreams or have left something behind, because that's really helped me along the way, is finding people that are in similar situations. And you feel a sense of connection then. Because I think one of the worries that I had was, oh, am I going to be alone out here? And it's funny, there's a big difference between being lonely and being alone. And I have found myself in situations where I was surrounded by 100 people, and yet I still felt lonely until I started really opening up myself and talking to people and communicating. So I think the more open that you are, the more that you're going to find people that align with your path. And yes, so that was the first thing that was quite important for me to come on here and just puke out, because I often have a moment where I think, should I just move back to Vienna? I mean, why not? I have some acting roles there. I have my wonderful family. I have all my friends that support me. And yet for anyone out there that has this innate feeling, this burning desire inside their system that tells them you have to go for something bigger and scarier and riskier, whatever that is, that's where I am, and that's where I've always been. And I feel extremely lucky because I still have the moral and emotional support from my family and friends. And that's something that is incredibly helpful. So if you don't have that, take this podcast as someone who supports you on your journey. And if you don't have that, I urge you to start having honest conversations with those around you. And then maybe there's people that don't take you seriously, or maybe there's people that say, ah, you're always such a dreamer, but be a realist. Everything's possible. Everything is possible, especially in today's day and age. You know, I keep going back to that Jim Carrey interview where he says, you know, his father, in his perspective, his point of view, his father could have been one of the greatest comedians to ever walk this earth, and yet he was really scared and he didn't want to take a job that's so risky, and so he took the safe route and became an accountant. And then later, he got laid off of that job, and you know, they were really struggling as a family to feed themselves, to have a roof over their heads. And Jim Carrey grew up with that notion of, oh, well, if you can fail at doing what you don't love to do, you might as well take a chance at doing what you do love to do. Again, it's a privileged thing to say, but I will always, always try to inspire people to do the thing that they really feel like they have to do. For me, there's just no other choice. I'd rather be unsuccessful on long stretches of time, like during long phases of my journey out here in LA, but I will still feel fulfilled in knowing that I'm doing everything that I can to at least honor that dream that I had ever since I was a child. And then you can argue, what is success? Because for me, that alone is success, right? Of course, I would be lying if I'd sit here and say I don't want financial stability and I want as many people around the world to connect with my work as an actor. But I am still really proud of myself along the journey, because me just being here and talking to you feels like a win. And later I'm going to actually get into things that help me stay on track. And those include the little wins along the way and also a really strict morning routine. But I'm going to get into that. Actually, let's get into it now. So my second point is communicating honestly and openly with yourself and the people around you, versus the balance between screaming into a pillow and manifesting positive thoughts and positive affirmations. There's a difference. So it's similar to, let's say you go through a breakup. You know, I went through a breakup a few years ago that was really, I was in a really bad place. And there's a difference between using your friends to talk honestly and openly about how you're feeling versus abusing that privilege. Now, there's importance in truly feeling all the feels, whether it be negative or scary, or even if I say to myself, like, you know, fuck, I feel so shitty right now. I'm not auditioning a lot. I haven't gotten a role in 2 years. I got up on stage and my stand-up set bombed and it was really unfunny. Or I just got rejected by this girl that I really like. And these feelings are really important. And the moments that I choose to talk to myself about them and to my friends are really, really important. I can't stress that enough. But there is a big difference in feeling those feelings and sulking, or I don't know, like marinating in those feelings for too long. I think it's equally as important to cowboy the fuck up, get back on the saddle, get back up on that horse and march forward, because that's really helped me along the way. I think there were phases in my life where I sulked for too long. I marinated in a negative thought for far too long. And at some point I was just feeling bad about myself and I was almost seeking that from others. I wanted them to sort of like pat me on the back and say, I'm so sorry, you know, like you don't deserve this and it's so unfair and the world is so shitty and if only they knew how wonderful you were. Okay, those are important things to hear sometimes, but boy, oh boy, is it important to get back up and to march forward and to not abuse the relationships you have with your friends and family, because they will stop listening. You know, life goes on. There are so many things. First of all, it's all relative, right? Someone could lose a parent. Someone could go through a breakup. Someone could lose a job. Someone could be, you know, a soldier going into a war zone. Everything is relative. But I think your friends are there for you no matter what it is, as long as you are, I think as long as you're able to be open, but then to take in their feedback, to take in the love that you receive from them, and then move forward with that, you know. And that's something that's been very, very crucial in my journey. So I will scream into a pillow and I will say, fuck, this is so unfair. But I instantly try to, or as quick as possible, try to have replacement thoughts. And instead of feeling bad for myself, I'm saying, no, what can I do to now take the next step into my positive future, my bright, shining future? And it comes down to routine for me. So I have, especially as someone who works for myself, you know, when I'm on set or in a movie, I will, that's pretty easy then, because I have my schedule, I'll wake up, I know when to be on set, I have a pickup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have a 9-to-5 job. And so I have to force myself almost to fake a 9-to-5 job in order to stay on track, and not just with my dream and my aspirations and the things that I want to achieve, but also as from a mental health standpoint, I need to stay on track. So something that has helped me the most is routine. I'm going to walk you through my routine. So the first thing I do is before I go to bed, I will take a pen and a paper, and I will write down what I have already accomplished the next day. And it's a to-do list, but instead of saying, wake up at 7 a.m., do X, Y, and Z, I will have already accomplished it, so that by the time I wake up and I look at that list, I have a healthy amount of pressure to do those things. Now, I can't take credit for that. There's an incredible life coach out there called Lauren Zander, who has implemented this with her clients. And I had 3.5 years of incredible coaching that started off under her umbrella company, and then I continued with my private life coach, Zach Maxwell, who's incredible and who has been a major positive tool in my life and has helped me pick up the pieces and has helped me achieve so many things that I have achieved now in the last few years. I give huge credit to him and a testament to him and generally into that whole system and methodology. So yes, here's what I do. I'll give you an example. I'll write down, today I woke up at 6:30 a.m. I had the best stretch ever and a huge smile on my face. I immediately got into my meditation. The meditation was really connected. I truly felt like I was able to transcend. Then I listened to my own positive affirmations, which really helped motivate me for the rest of the day. I made myself the most delicious hot fresh cup of coffee that woke me up, and then I went to the gym. I had a very specific training today. I focused on my arms and my chest, and I really felt I got the pump in. And I then took a freezing cold shower, which really gave me all the endorphins that I needed for the rest of the day. Then I proceeded to have the greatest meeting with this casting director, whoever the casting director might be. Let's say on a given day I have that meeting. I had the greatest meeting with the casting director. We spoke about my career and the things that I want to achieve, also the things that I've done so far that I'm really proud of. And I had a wonderful session, a two-hour session where I was working on my screenplay. And I really felt like I progressed, which was just incredible. Incredible, incredible, incredible. Can you think of any other words, Nadeev? She's Louise. Anyway, you get the gist of it. Then it goes on into the evening. You know, I read 20 pages of the book, The Power of Now, and I got some real insight into, I don't know, I learned a lot of new things just from those 20 pages alone, and I slept so peacefully, etc., and so forth and so on. So that sort of really makes me wake up and I take a peek at this thing and I say, oh, you know what? My system, my body, my mind already sort of believes that I've done these things. I've already accomplished these things. So this healthy pressure I speak about is I can now go about my day and tick these things off the box one by one. And whatever I don't manage that day, I'm not so hard on myself. It's not the end of the world. I'll just push it to the next day. That way you can kind of keep track of what you're doing. And also it just motivates me to have a kick-ass day. Zach, my coach, got me into transcendental meditation, TM meditation. It's personally really helped me. I think any form of meditation can be a useful tool. For me, it just helps me, I guess, fizzle out some of the noise that's in my head. It declutters. Actually, Hugh Jackman says it so wonderfully on, he had an amazing episode on the Tim Ferriss podcast, which I highly recommend for anyone out there. And he sort of sees transcendental meditation as if you have a glass of water, and sometimes, you know, it's, especially if you're drinking out of the tap, you see that the water is kind of cloudy. So this meditation sort of helps the cloudiness fizzle out, and suddenly you can just see clearly. And that's kind of what it's done for me. And connecting to my spiritual side and believing in a higher power, whatever that is. You know, I'm obviously Jewish, but this sort of, it aligns with that in many ways. And I trust more that things sort of fall into place the way that they need to, personally. Okay. The other thing that I really want to cover in this episode is believing in yourself and being your own CEO. So, especially for the dreamers out there and the creatives that want to accomplish something as bizarre as acting or singing or comedy or dancing or whatever it is, these creative art forms, I think we all grew up with this notion of, or at least you hear it from all corners of life, like, oh, it's impossible and you're just dreaming and you got to take yourself seriously and get a normal, quote unquote, normal job. You have to believe in yourself so much to the point where you are almost delusional. Because if you don't believe in yourself or take yourself seriously as an artist, no one else will. And I would second that with, don't expect things from people, or rather, it's healthier to walk into a situation with zero to very little expectation. Now, it all sounds very negative, but when I was a kid, I had certain mentors in the industry, famous actors, producers, and I always thought that when it got to a certain age, when I graduated from acting school, that all these people would just open every door for me. And I was really bitter at first that they didn't. And I felt ghosted and I felt ignored and rejected and not taken seriously. And I was really, really hurt. I was really hurt. And until today, I'm dealing with some of those feelings. But it is because of all the work that I've been doing and the experience that I've gathered here in my 3.5 years of being in LA, is that I don't take things so personally anymore. And everyone has their own life. Everyone has their own things they want to accomplish. And some people help others more effortlessly and others don't, or others get scared or nervous about it. I don't know why. Others feel that they're in competition with you. But I feel that if someone helps you along the way, then just be incredibly grateful for their support and their belief in you. But just don't take it personally if they don't. So don't expect it, because 99.9% of the time you will walk out of that room disappointed if you go in with an expectation. Instead of thinking, what can they do for you? Think, how can you invite them into your experience? You know, when I'm on a movie set, I used to think, oh my gosh, these directors can change my life and these producers can change my life and these actors are on a higher pedestal. And my coach Zach helped me remodel that into, see yourself on the same eye level as them. Don't see them and on a one pedestal and yourself on a two or a three, but see it as a one-to-one. Now, it doesn't mean you can't feel incredibly inspired by these people or respect the work that they've done and accomplished, but just know and trust in your own talent and knowing I am here for a reason. I've gotten through this door for a reason. I'm on set for a reason. I'm on this stage for a reason. I've got myself here and I have something to give and to share. And so I am allowing them to experience that with me. At the same time, I'm collaborating and I'm joining their incredible experience and what they have to offer. So it's a very It's a back and forth relationship, and it's not, you know, I you can be grateful for being there, but also don't feel that you so desperately need them to whatever save you from your rut or save you from your dry spell as an artist. Like, it's okay. Everyone goes through phases. Everyone goes through ups and downs, and don't feel insecure or unconfident in being in these rooms or on set. Just trust that, like, yeah, you're fucking good and you're there for a reason and you have something to offer. And so I always appreciate when people help me and they give me advice or they introduce me to someone. And for the most part, people have been so wonderful and so kind, so loving, so supporting in my journey. But I'm not mad when they don't. I think that everyone has their own reasons. And my personal motto has been, if I can help, I'll help. Whether that be giving advice, whether that be trying to open a door for someone, or even, you know, sharing my thoughts and feelings on this podcast. It goes further, I think, and deeper. I feel if you have the time, actually, I'm going to correct myself here. My father always says, one does not have the time, one takes the time. So if you have it in you to take the time to help people, then do it. Do it. That could be on a small scale, helping someone move apartments, to giving money to someone in need. There are so many good organizations out there. God, it's so important to do these things in life. On Sundays, I help. There's a great organization here in LA called OBKLA, Our Big Kitchen LA. And they feed people in need. They feed the homeless. They feed people that are living out of shelters here in LA. And it's a simple 2-3 hour job on a Sunday, and you cook and you help share food in communities in need. And it's just good. It's a good thing to do. I always think if you could do one thing a day that helps someone, then do it. And politically, I don't need to get into too many political issues on this podcast. I mean, I'm always open to if I have a guest on here and they want to chat about things. But I always say, as long as you're helping someone, no matter what side of the fence you're on, I mean, you know, that's all relative, obviously, but it's just help someone. You know, if you're posting something on Instagram, whether it be, let's stick with political stuff. If there's a war going on like there is now, if you post something on Instagram, I always think, to the best of your ability, and we all make mistakes, but to the best of your ability, share something that connects people, where you find common humanity. Or when you're donating to a cause, just, you know, make sure that you're donating to a place in need and people in need, and try to connect people, bring people together, and don't try to divide and add more heat or hatred in this world. Just try to be as positive as possible and respect and appreciate others, even if they have a different political point of view, if they are doing what they can to help someone in need. Be a good person. Be a good person. And I also believe in karma, and good things come back around. And again, everyone makes mistakes. I'm sitting here like as if I've made so many mistakes in my life, and I continue to make mistakes. I think what's far more romantic than having the perfect track record is admitting to your faults, and to adjust. And to better yourself, and to try to take the next step forward in life with a better attitude and something that you learned along the way. So, I don't know, be easy on each other. And what I always urge people to try to do, I do it, and especially I feel people with, let's just say, no skin in the game. If you're not from a specific territory or have lived there or have visited or have experienced certain territories in the world or war zones and whatnot, or have been directly affected, if you're going to use your voice, which I think is a beautiful thing, and it's not just a war right now, for example, that goes on in the Middle East. There's that goes further on into things like anti-Semitism, Islamophobia. There's, you know, obviously the war in the Ukraine and Russia. I always feel, you know, when you're using your voice, I think it's a beautiful thing. And we have these platforms now where we can really reach people. But really try to find some, of course, spreading awareness and positivity and change, but also find balance. And I say this, you know, for me, obviously, I was pretty heavily directly affected by what was going on now in the Middle East. I found it in my heart to speak up. And the ratio, of course, is going to be larger on one side than the other side. But I found it in me to speak up for both sides. And even, I mean, it goes, there's larger examples of that where I flew to the Middle East, obviously helping and volunteering in a humanitarian way wherever I could, wherever help was needed in Israel. And then also challenged myself to go over to the West Bank and to Palestine, which was not an easy thing, like quite literally to do, especially at this current time. And I always find myself, I just thought to myself, if I can do this as, you know, the son of Israelis and a Jewish person, then, you know, I really truly am hoping that people that don't have any skin in the game directly, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't say anything, you know, we should all be speaking up for good causes and to try to help make the world a better place, but really challenge yourself to create balance in your conversation and, you know, using your platform for the better and not to just underline one thing or one side without sort of trying to find empathy for the other side. And I think things are really tricky and not black and white and complex and complicated. So, you know, just as much as you can, educate yourself, listen to those that have experienced things from both sides. And I don't just mean the Middle East, it goes in so many areas around the world. What's going on in Sudan right now? Okay, I really need to get out of this political run-on sentence I'm falling into. But my whole point being just help wherever you can help, but really try to also, just don't divide, you know. Stand in the middle, stretch out both your arms, and try to pull people together to find peace in the middle. Anyway, in the Middle East, hey! Okay, moving on. The other thing that I wanted to talk about with what helped me so much here on my journey in LA is I also feel that there were stretches of time where I felt very needy, very, very needy and desperate. And there's a fine line between being proactive and being desperate. My coach, Zach, helped me so much in, there's a brilliant quote, which I love. I'll make this a part two quote for this podcast. Actually, he was the one who got me turned on to As Within, So Without, As Above, So Below. But also, neediness is the vibration of not having. So I can really want to be an actor. I can really want to be with this girl. I can really want to, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But don't feel that you need it, because that gives off a desperate vibe. If I go into a room with a casting director and I'm auditioning, I really want this role. I also trust that I would be a really good asset to their film. I feel that I can add something of value, but I don't need it. I can really want an agent or a manager because it helps me with my acting career. It helps me get more opportunities, more auditions, more meetings, but I don't need it, because I trust myself that I can get there also in other ways. So yes, there's a massive difference between being needy and just, and just openly wanting to achieve certain things. And I think that also goes with taking things personally, right? If someone says, oh, I can't help you, or someone doesn't reply to your email, don't feel that you need this person to save you from something. No, you're good on your own. You can do it. It would be wonderful if they did help you or if you did get that job, but if not, not meant to be. Moving on without holding a grudge. And that also goes back to, again, believing in yourself, regardless of if others do or do not. There's another layer to this. If I post something on social media and I get a ton of, let's say in this heated time in the world, let's say I get a ton of hate or negative comments, feedback on a post, that can really ruin a day, right? Or a week or a month or a year, depending on the comment. So I've always, to the best of my ability, tried not to lean in too much into negative comments. Then I started getting all these positive comments. I've always gotten more positivity than negativity in my life, whether it be on social media or in real life. And, you know, you can really sort of, I don't know, just shower in these positive comments, and it gives me so much confidence and love, and I feel a sense of accomplishment and a sense of importance, and all that stuff is, I will argue, it is equally as dangerous. So now when I put something out there in the world, I put something out there because that is currently my point of view, creatively or personally, and this is my perspective, and that's all that it is. And I'm open to feedback, as always, but I try not to read into the negative or the positive comments too much, because then you start relying on them a little too heavily. If you get a positive comment, you just think, oh, great, okay, so I am great, or I am important, or I am loved. And when you get a negative comment, it's, oh, gosh, I'm hated, and people don't like me, and I'm not enough, and all those dangerous negative thoughts start to trickle into my, really, they take over my mental health, almost. They cast like a massive shadow over me. And it can dim the light that I have when I wake up in the morning. And so I try not to highlight any positive or negative comments too much, or rather, I don't put too much importance on it for me. If I feel that I'm helping someone, I'm changing someone in a positive way, then that's amazing. And that's the reason why I'm doing this. But it gets to a point where it's dangerous, where you think, if I don't get a positive comment or like a showered in love or 1,000 likes or 10,000 likes, and I only get 100 likes or 80 likes or 20 likes or whatever that is, then you start really feeling shitty about yourself. And that's dangerous. And that's a dangerous trope. I try not to tread there. Those are all, that's filled with landmines. So I embrace all the positivity that comes my way. I try not to take the negativity too personally. And generally, I just put myself and my feelings, my thoughts out there. And I hope that it affects people in a positive way. And that's it. And I move on and I move forward and on to the next thing. The other thing is, I try to rely on myself. I don't have this feeling about the industry. I don't have this like, I know better and screw them and fuck them, and you know, it's their loss if they don't help me, or rather, I'm gonna make it so that I can show all the haters that they were wrong. I just think like it's just a waste of time and energy. I love to rely on myself because it's in my control. So that's the same thing as a morning routine, and that is also how I've gotten, I think, all but one or two acting roles in my career so far, is just by relying on myself and doing the work myself. So I believe heavily in the 6 degrees of separation. If I want to reach out to someone, whether it be a producer, a casting director, a director, whatever it is, I trust that in my circle of my network, and the 6 degrees of separation always works. So if I want to reach out to a casting director, I will try to do my own research in knowing, okay, I know this person who knows that person who's cousins with this person who worked with this casting director. 99.9% of the time, you will always find a way to get to that person. Now, I don't mean this in a stalkery way or in a desperate way. It's just, if you feel that someone can really help you elevate your career path into the next phase or chapter, don't block yourself. You know, even if it's a personal handwritten letter, something small, or an email, don't bombard someone. I think back when I was younger, I was over eager and desperate, and I just like emailed. And today I feel, okay, I can email. If they're busy, I totally respect and understand that. Then I'll follow up with another email a couple months down the line. And you just like check in here and there. And I think that's important, because people are busy. And the other thing is, if they say no, or I can't help you, or whatever that is, accept it. And that's okay too. But I truly believe that you can almost reach out to anyone you want to reach out to by using the 6 degrees of separation. I fear calling it a tactic, but in a way it is, because yeah, sometimes you gotta just work out different ways to try to get what you want to get in this life. So 6 degrees of separation always helps me. The other thing is not relying on people. So, I have a lot of phases throughout my life where I'm finding myself, or I catch myself waiting for auditions. And when the auditions come, I do them. And then sometimes, or mostly, you don't get them. So first of all, for any actors out there, when you're auditioning, don't feel that you're auditioning only for that specific part. You really are auditioning for the director, for the casting director, for the team, because if it's not that part, maybe it's another part, you know, maybe you left a good impression and you had a spark in you that day and they see something in you. Maybe you don't fit exactly the vision that they had, but they would love to get you back for something down the line. Trust in that and know that auditioning is good whether you get the part or not. And it's an opportunity to just act for a few minutes, you know. Pretend that you already got the role, right? Positive affirmations, manifestation. You'll have more fun with it that way. And it's, but beyond just waiting for auditions, do stuff that is in your control. So for actors out there, write your own material. I have written my own material for the last 10 years. You know, nowadays it's possible even with an iPhone to go and shoot your own short film or a comedy skit or even a feature film. You can really write the roles that you want to play, the ones that you connect to most naturally, and get some friends and family together to help you film something. You can even film it yourself nowadays with tripods and whatnot. And so I think it's very, very important to put the energy into the things that are in your control. And the irony is, the more busy you are with doing things that are just for you, the more that, and this is just the way energy in the world works, in my opinion, the more that people will seek you out because they feel that you don't need them, right? That you're really focusing on your own projects and your own things, and the outside work will come naturally. And that's a beautiful thing because then you won't need the exterior things like a job for you to feel fulfilled or valid. Because you're already giving that to yourself. You're already creating the work for yourself. So I think stay busy and focus on your own project, whether it be a podcast, whether it be writing a script, whether it be doing stand-up, whether it's recording a song, you know. And you're going to be proud of yourself because even if the script doesn't get produced, don't do it in order for it to get... Like, I try not to write a script where every sentence I think, oh, but I need X amount of money to make this movie, or oh, what if this never gets made? It's just write it to write it because you feel that you want to, and you have it inside of you. It's this burning desire to get this story told. And alone that, being busy in just the actual act of writing and creating, when you do have that audition, or you do go on that date, you're already coming with a sense of accomplishment and a sense of, just being busy. And that's quite an attractive quality, I think. At least that's really helped me. And it goes back to neediness is the vibration of not having. Last but not least, I would like to say that you have got to allow yourself to fail. I caught myself recently where I felt unfunny, or what if they don't think this clip of stand-up material is not funny? Or what if I post this thing on Instagram and no one sees it? Or I put all this work in and then there's only 50 likes or whatever, you know? And I was the biggest blocker of my own creative success and God, I'm struggling to find the right words because I feel this is a really important point. I was basically standing in my own way. And I feel I've always had the keys to the gates myself, and I didn't realize. I was expecting someone to open them from within. And I had them on me all along. And my father, I had a really beautiful conversation with him the other day where he asked me, do you remember how many times you fell as a baby before you could walk? And I said, no, I don't remember. And he says, exactly. Looking back, you don't think about the amount of times that you fell. Granted, you probably won't have the memory of that. But even if you watch videos of us filming you as a baby, you don't think about the amount of times you fell. You cherish the moments where you got back up and you stood on your feet. And he said, look at you today. Look at you now. You're standing. You're walking. You're jogging. You're running. You're jumping. You're doing gymnastics. Whatever you can do, you're standing. And it's only because you didn't give up. And it's only because you allowed yourself to fail and fail time and time again. And I think that's a good way or a good thought to end this episode on, because that's where I'm at right now. I feel that I was nervous to fail in front of you all. I've even had like, I don't know, 4 moments where I attempted to tape another podcast episode. And I thought like, I don't know, I'm stuttering too much, or I could have said this so much smarter. And I think the more I get into the hang of it again, you know, it's been a while, I'm a bit rusty. All those things will come much more smoothly to me. And, but my point is, it doesn't matter. I'm going to release this episode. And I didn't even film it because I was overthinking that. I said, oh, filming, and I need this setup and whatever. And then clip. I said, you know what? Before I block myself again, just record it, do an audio version, and release it. Fuck it. And those that are interested will listen, and hopefully it'll help someone along the way, and it'll help you just as much as it helps them. Yeah, this was so much fun. Gosh, a little bit of a mishmash episodes of this episode was like a million thoughts in one. But I'm going to give myself a break here, and I hope that it helped you. I hope that you enjoyed listening to it, and I'm going to be recording these a lot more frequently, and I am so honored to have you join me on my journey along the way. And I, instead of trying to fix everything and make sure that I'm perfect and 100% eloquent in every single rehearsed sentence that I have, and I have a star shooting career and all this, you know, all that stuff, and then bring you on to my journey. Instead, I'm going to say, you know what? Fuck all that. I am going to have you be a part of the journey now, with all the ups and downs. Not that those will ever end, but with all the stutters in between, with all the things that I learn along the way and the lessons I learn along the way, I want you there from beginning to end. So I'm not going to have you isolated anymore. I'm going to do this with you if you will have me. Thank you so much. I love each and every one of you. Until next time. Mwah.
Jokes aside. That was another episode of Jokes Aside. Hey, DV. Hey, Sinkoman.
Dance, monkey, dance.